This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. You're hosted today by Brian Reynolds, County Library Director in San Luis Obispo County, and Christine Tardif, Library Manager for the San Luis Obispo County Library. Our guests today are Richard Enfield, 4-H Youth Development Advisor for San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara Counties, and University of California Cooperative Extension. Jen Rhodes is also with us from the Friday Night Live and the Slo County Behavioral Health Department. Welcome, Jen, and welcome, Richard.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Could you tell us a little bit, by way of beginning the show, about the Asset Development Network, when it started, what its purpose is, and so forth?
Sure. The Asset Development Network started in San Luis Obispo in 1998, and it started with just a few agencies and organizations. I'll mention them real quickly: the 4-H Youth Development Program, YMCA, the County Office of Education, and the Department of Social Services, and then a number of other organizations, agencies, and individuals joined. And we're there to promote the framework of developmental assets, which is something that was developed and promoted by Search Institute, which is an applied research organization out of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So what are the 40 assets? I mean, when you talk about asset development, what does that mean, and who are we talking about developing, and whose assets are we developing?
Well, really, everybody has assets. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to go to the Search Institute's website, you could see all 40 listed. We won't do that here. But basically, the idea is that every person has internal assets, so things like intrinsic motivation and self-esteem, things like that, as well as external assets like feeling connected to your school or your community, having high expectations from your parents. And the more of those assets that you have, a combination of the internal and external, really the more successful that you're going to be as a person. Mm-hmm. And so specifically what the Asset Development Network is trying to instill in our community is really celebrating these assets at all ages. So young children all the way through high school and college age, and also outreaching to parents and engaging them in the asset network.
So, Zach, go ahead.
And I would like to add, I like to think about and talk about these developmental assets as building blocks of healthy youth development. Mm-hmm. And they're all types of opportunities and experiences that young people can have in their lives that help them grow up into caring, competent individuals.
So an internal asset might be a sense of self-esteem.
Self-esteem is one of the 40 assets. It's actually my least favorite of them because it's hard to get around that. But there are 4 categories in each, in external assets and internal assets, and I'll just mention them very quickly. Commitment to learning, positive values, social competencies, and positive identity. And then within those, there are a number of assets. And then in the external assets, there's support, empowerment, boundaries and expectations, and constructive use of time. And individuals, every single individual in the community can make a difference and help build these assets in our young people.
So give us an example of how these organizations who now make up this network, how is it that they can help to build assets in youth, or how have they been doing this, some of the things that they've been doing?
Well, the asset network itself has provided trainings to these different community organizations like the YMCA and CAPSLO and the library, and training the staff in how to infuse these assets into just normal, everyday work. And so a lot of organizations have been able to do that, and then in doing so, really pass that message along to whomever it is that organization is serving.
So they have become what we call asset-infused organizations, and in their work in the community, because we work with so many community organizations, including the library and Friday Night Live and others that have already been mentioned, we reach a wide number of individuals and groups and families throughout the county.
Richard or Jen, this is either one could answer. Is there a way or a mechanism for one or several agencies to become aware of a young person's level of developmental assets and then work with them and the parents on a curriculum to add to those assets, maybe during a critical time in youth, like in middle school? Is there any way that individuals are assessed and then a game plan or an improvement plan is put into motion?
Well, I'll tackle that first. There actually is a survey that can be done. It's a pretty comprehensive survey that Search Institute has developed. But from the research that has been done with probably well over 2 million people across the country now, we know that young people don't have a lot of assets. Sometimes out of the 40 assets, probably the average is from 16 to 18 assets. So there are always assets to build. And the Asset Development Network is available to work with anybody on learning about the assets and how to help build assets in young people. I think there have been just a couple of communities in San Luis Obispo County and some other counties that have actually measured assets, and what they have found is really we're just in line with the national survey.
So we're pretty average in that regard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people would think, oh, the counties that we live are so wonderful and there are so many things for young people. Well, we soon find out that that's not really the truth, that we're pretty much in line with the rest of the country.
It seems to me, sort of my pseudo-psychological approach, that a lot of kids have an interior life or an interior landscape that maybe even sometimes their parents don't know about or they don't reveal to others. And maybe part of the process is to learn what that landscape is and try to provide the support at some key points. The Asset Development Network itself, has it become more formal over the years, or has it become more ambitious in terms of its goals and activities?
I kind of think I would not use the term formal to describe the network, more in the sense that it's comprised of a group of people and agencies that are coming all together with this common mission, and everybody really, shares this appreciation for what the assets can do for people. And so it's kind of an ever-changing evolution as far as, how the network proceeds. And it's really very, I guess, organic in that sense, that it's not real prescribed of, well, this is our plan for this, and we have to do this, this, and this. It's very kind of naturally evolutionary.
So the network doesn't have officers or a budget or things like that?
The network has never had a budget, and we do have people that we agree are going to be chairs or co-chairs for a while, and they help organize the meetings and that type of thing. But it's been, as Jen said, it's sort of an organization that people come to because they really believe in the philosophy of developmental assets and they want to make a difference in their community. So it's not a formalized organization at all.
Can you talk about who the members are? Have we talked about that? We had talked about, the County Office of Education and 4-H and Drug and Alcohol Service, County Schools, YMCA, United Way. There's a lot of organizations. In fact, we just had a meeting yesterday, and part of our meetings now are for some of the organizations to highlight how they have infused assets into some facet of their program. And so we had the Family Resource Center at Capslo did a presentation about the wonderful things they're doing, and I forget who it was. Another person from Capslo spoke yesterday. Because for those of us who are members, sometimes we don't know what some of the organizations are doing, and we learn quite a bit from them. In fact, the library, who has been through the asset training, we are much more active in partnering with organizations that we just weren't necessarily aware of the, our ability to do this. And so it's important. Some of the things that we've learned at the library after receiving this asset training from Richard in particular is just valuing, you know, just seeing teens as being very valuable customers. As when they walk through the door, I know some people are like, oh no, here come a bunch of teens, they're going to be loud or they're going to spread out. We've actually dedicated teen space in as many libraries as we can. At the SLO library, we got some grant funding to redo the teen area, and we specifically involved the teens in deciding what they wanted their area to look at. So again, we just sort of celebrated who they are and gave them, you know, that one asset of, in particular, a feeling important and valuable in their community, being a contributing member of the community. So even just some of the minor things that we're doing have really helped with the asset infusion at the library system.
This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Brian Reynolds, County Librarian for San Luis Obispo County, with my co-host Christine Tardif, Library Manager for the County Library. We're joined today by Richard Enfield, 4-H Youth Development Advisor for San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara Counties and the University of California Cooperative Extension. Also with us today is Jen Rhodes, Friday Night Live Coordinator and with the SLO County Behavioral Health Program. We're going to talk about one of the key activities that ADN, the Asset Development Network, works on, which is sort of a perennial issue, and that would be bullying. I'm sure that's existed since humans have existed. What's going on with bullying, Jen and Richard?
Well, what we're hearing a lot from our partners on the network and just from, you know, being out in the field is that bullying's a pretty pervasive issue in our schools and also in our community. So it's an issue that our child care providers are seeing with very young children, and it's something that our professors even at Cuesta are seeing. So it's kind of spanning quite a large age group. And so the network got together and decided that this was probably a topic where we thought assets could help out. Mm-hmm. And so we dedicated our upcoming conference, which is going to be on February 1st, to this issue.
And we also have the night before, so January 31st, we have a parent and community activity that will be different from the conference the next day, but one of the keynote speakers at the conference will be presenting on the 31st, and that's going to be at Laguna Middle School at 6:30 p.m. So both of those events are something that the Asset Development Network is they're promoting right now. We expect a very good turnout for both of the events. And once again, it's part of the network's desire to address the issue of bullying throughout our counties and to let people know what to look for, how to change social norms and the norms in school that allow bullying to go on and to occur, and learn ways to address the issue. And the title of the conference on February 1st, I think, is just wonderful, because it's the title is "It Starts With Me: Building a Community Without Bullying." And we really do believe that's possible if the community comes together as a community and addresses the issue.
So some of the people that might be interested in attending this all-day conference at Cuesta on February 1st might, you know, be early childhood educators, the K-12 educating community, principals, counselors, teachers. And then our last conference was about sparks, you know, building sparks in youth. And we had about 60 or 65 youth at that event. So youth are certainly someone we want to have at this event as well. And we have a lot of speakers. Some of the topics is, you know, understanding school bullying through the eyes of a former victim, making a difference in kids' lives. And so we have several authors, including local author Jay Asher, who's going to be our cap note speaker. So what are the objectives that we hope to, that the conference, you know, we hope to do with the conference?
Well, one of the things that we really want people to take away from the conference is having some tangible tools of, you know, I'm a parent and, you know, my son or daughter comes home and, you know, tells me this story that they're being bullied at school. Well, as a parent, I need to know what to do. I need to know what mm-hmm. to say to my child. I need to know how to empower them, you know, to not get bullied anymore. I need to know mm-hmm. how to work with a school, if it's happening at school, to address that. So we're really hoping that people come away with a broad awareness of the issue and also mm-hmm. what they can do about it. It's kind of why we titled the conference, It Starts With Me. We want people to feel mm-hmm. empowered to take an active role in making a community without this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another issue, and it's an important issue in bullying, is sometimes young people do not tell any adults that they're being bullied. And that is a big factor. And sometimes things get to a really bad point that we don't want to see before an adult, whether it's a teacher or an administrator or a parent, finds out. So one of the conference objectives is to help people understand some of the signs of someone being bullied and how to intervene and how to talk to young people about being bullied or if they're being bullied. And that's actually a very important piece because research has shown that so many young people never report it to their parents.
Is it safe to say, Richard and Jen, that a victim of bullying is maybe embarrassed or feeling diminished? They might not want to tell an example of because they're shy about it or afraid that there might be revenge, anything like that?
Yes, I absolutely think that is part of it, and that's probably a big part of it. And the other thing is sometimes young people feel that when adults get involved, it's going to make it worse or that adults can't do anything about it. And we just need to change that. We need to change that paradigm. And that's partly what the conference is about as well.
Is there any way to know if this problem is getting worse? I know that with, say, domestic violence, the reporting mechanisms are a lot more ubiquitous. And so it's hard to know if it's increasing or not, but we're just more aware of it. How about bullying? Do you think it's on the rise or just sort of a larger profile because it's a trendy topic?
Well, one of the ways that we can measure that is not necessarily, you know, by reports of bullying because, you know, we know that those numbers are, you know, most likely much lower than actual. But we can look at some of the positives that are happening for our young people in schools. We can look at the California Healthy Kids Survey that comes out every 2 years and see what our young people are saying about feeling safe at school. And if they're, you know, feeling safe, then most likely they're not going to be feeling bullied. So that's one way that we can look at that. I think it's encouraging that a lot of our parents and educators are asking for information on bullying right. and what they can do about it. So I know that we're making a step in the right direction.
So I think one thing that has changed over time is this online bullying now that goes on because mm-hmm. that didn't exist before. Bullying, and we know this, has existed for a long time. It's been around for a while. But online bullying is a totally different animal, and it really can escalate and go viral, as we all know. Mm-hmm. And that's something that really does hurt people. And there, we all know about suicides of young people because they just couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was because of things going online and then just being out of hand.
Mm-hmm. I would say to me is a qualitative shift when people can express their emotions often negative emotions to a microphone or to a keyboard, imagining that they're in a room or maybe talking with a friend, and yet many times the whole world is watching. And also that when you do something on a computer, it tends to happen quickly and maybe be irrevocable.
And we really, the network and the members of the network really do believe that young people that have a high self-esteem, that have a high number of assets, who are self-confident, really do have what a person wrote to a local paper last week. These are the kids that the ones that are who are self-confident. That's what they need to have as the first line of defense against being bullied. And we really do believe that. That's what the network believes. And we also believe that the people who are bulliers can also be helped and learn not how to bully by feeling good about themselves. Because a lot of times, and we know this, that the people that are bullying other people have some issues and they're not really feeling good about what's going on in their lives. So we come back to these positive building blocks of healthy youth development, and that's really what the network is about, and that's what our upcoming conference and the Parent and Community Night is about as well.
I really like the positive approach. You're not necessarily fighting against something, but you're promoting something positive, which in the doing would mitigate the other one. Is it safe to say, Richard and Jen, that the whole bullying thing is a group, or anti-bullying thing is a group effort? Teachers are involved, families are involved, community members are involved?
Certainly. It has to be a community effort for it to be effective. It doesn't work if it's, you know, just one small group. It's great for that one small group. But if we're really looking for a culture shift, everybody really does need to be involved.
And what are the schools doing? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the No Place for Hate that's taking place? And
sure. Yeah, a lot of our schools locally, through either the YMCA after school programs or the Friday Night Live programs, have embraced the Anti-Defamation League's No Place for Hate project, which is basically where a group of young people at the school get together and plan a campaign to address that culture of bullying on their campus and how to change that. So I know, for instance, this year, Lewis Middle School in Paso has a confidential Dropbox where students can share stories of bullying, whether it's something you know, that they're currently dealing with, or they can share a positive story of how somebody intervened with that situation, and that can then the school can use that to celebrate the positive and create a culture shift there.
This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Brian Reynolds, SLO County Librarian, and Christine Tardif is my co-host, Library Manager for our San Luis Obispo County Library System. Joining us today are our two guests, Richard Enfield, 4-H Youth Development Advisor for San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara Counties, University of California Cooperative Extension, and Jen Rhodes, Friday Night Live Coordinator and from the SLO County Behavioral Health Division. What other issues that would you like to talk about in our remaining time here today that really stand out for you around this issue?
Well, I think maybe we can just mention the resources that are already available for people. And I think Christine will help with that. I'll just mention that the SLO County of Education has a resource library that there are a lot of different books and pamphlets and other resources around the concept of developmental assets, and they're available for loan. Anybody can contact SLOCO at 805-782-7272 to find out about how to check out those resources. And I think Christine has some information on that.
Well, when the library became active with the Asset Development Network, I made a point of making sure that our county library system in Santa Barbara and Monterey County also does an excellent job of the resources they have surrounding the topic of bullying. I made sure that since we were going to focus on this for our conference, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the resources. We have hundreds of resources at our libraries, books, DVDs, books for parents, children, teachers, teens. One in particular, Bullied, What Every Parent, Teacher, and Kid Needs to Know About Ending the Cycle of Fear. That's by Carrie Goldman. She started posting about her daughter Katie's bullying experiences, and it went viral. And she wrote a book about how to help parents deal with the victimization, the feeling of victimization that so many of these young people have being bullied. Another one, The Drama Years, Real Girls Talk About Surviving Middle School, Bullies, Brands, Body Image, and More. And that's by Haley Kilpatrick. We were talking earlier about, was it more predominantly boys or girls? You know, and we talked about, there are different types of bullying depending on boys or girls, and this one specifically would help out the parents and teachers who are working with girls. Another one, The Bully Action Guide, How to Help Your Child and Get Your School to Listen, and that's by Edward Dragan. And then we have some books specifically for teens, Dear Bully, 70 Authors Tell Their Stories. And so some top authors actually tell teens about some of their bullying experiences. There's a book called It Gets Better, Coming Out, Overcoming Bullying, and Creating a Life Worth Living. And that is a collection for the LGBT community that is edited by Dan Savage. We have fiction books as well, one called Leverage. And then, of course, Jay Asher's 13 Reasons Why, about a girl who at the beginning, she has committed suicide because of, she just cannot handle the bullying that is taking place in her high school. And again, Jay will be joining us at our conference. And then specifically for children, younger children, we have one called We Want You to Know, Kids Talk About Bullying. There are some really good picture books, Henry and the Bully, and there's a graphic novel called Squish, which, is very popular. And there's one called Why Are You Picking on Me? So it helps parents work with their smaller children. And then we also have DVDs. We have one called Bullying, There's Always a Way Out. There's an American Girls series, one called Krissa Stand Strong. Again, for the younger ones, there's one called Freddy Frog Face. And then How to Eat Fried Worms. Those of you who remember that book, they actually was made into a movie about a young boy who comes up against a school bully. We have DVDs on cyberbullying. And as Richard said, there's also quite a collection at the County Department of Education. So anyone who's looking for any resources on assets or bullying, if you just go to your local library and, we're happy to help you find any of those resources for parents or educators. If you're a teen and are looking for fiction books or a child looking for resources, we certainly can help you find those, again, in DVD format as well.
I'd like to thank our guests today. This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast, co-hosted by myself, Brian Reynolds, San Luis Obispo County Librarian, and Christine Tardif, Library Manager for the County Library. And we've been joined today by Richard Enfield, 4-H Youth Development Advisor, San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara Counties, University of California Cooperative Extension, and also by Jen Rhodes, Friday Night Live Coordinator and a member of the San Luis Obispo County Behavioral Health Division. It's been enjoyable, and please, everyone, pay attention to the upcoming programs on February 1st. And what was the other one?
On January 31st, first, the evening before.
Where can people get to this? Let people know how they can get that information.
The easiest way might be through a phone call to Diana Mills at SLOCO, which is San Luis Obispo Office of Education, at 805-782-7263.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.